Welcome to the Behind the Lids podcast. My name is Mandy Adams, and I have the privilege of leading the Behind the Lids Healing Collective here in Costa Mesa, California. Our podcast is an opportunity to share the wisdom of facilitators who hold space and bring healing at our studio, as well as experts and influencers we believe you should know about. Before we join our conversation for today, we'd love for you to hear about an upcoming event at Behind the Lids.
Welcome to the Behind the Lids podcast. I'm your host, David Trotter, and today our guest is Bernardo Moya, creator of the Best You Expo, magazine, and television. He's a lifelong entrepreneur and the author of The Question, Find Your True Purpose, and his latest book, A Man Evolving, Confessions About Monogamy, Passion, and Broken Hearts. He's the architect behind the UK's biggest annual personal and professional development event, the Best You Expo, held in London and California. Now, in today's conversation, Bernardo shares how he started The Best You and what you can expect at the Los Angeles Expo coming up in March 2023, why he wrote his latest book called A Man Evolving, what mistakes to avoid as a speaker, author, or coach trying to get your message out. All right, let's jump into my conversation with Bernardo Moya. Bernardo, thanks so much for taking some time to hang with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm excited and delighted to be here.
Yeah. Hey, I want to hear a little bit about your history and how you became interested in personal development. I know you had an entrepreneurial background and you've been in real estate and all sorts of different things, but how did personal development really capture your attention and your heart?
Yes, it was. I always listened to the greats, you know, in my early years. I loved Jim Rohn. I love Jim Rohn. I still listen to his audios now and then. And, you know, all the greats, Les Brown and Brian Tracy. So in those days, you know, Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield. So I always loved personal development. I think if anything, what really put me in the path was NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. You know, when I came across that, which was a book from Paul McKenna, Change Your Life in 7 Days, which was talking all about NLP and Richard Bandler, which I never heard of. And I had done so much training already in sales, but it kind of blew my mind. I thought, wow, why am I learning this? And this was in my mid-30s, late 30s. So NLP what really put me in the path that I'm on in today. But, you know, kind of, as I said, I always followed the greats, loved the greats. And it was something that really intrigued me, pretty much all my life.
Yeah. Did you find that the motivational for personal development was to increase your sales? Was it because you were having challenges in your life or a combination of the two? Or what was the motivation there?
Yeah, funny enough, at the beginning, all these tapes and I was in sales. You know, I did everything in sales. I started working in timeshare. So, you know, kind of like I learned the hard way. If I come across someone that's done timeshare sales, I know that they've got some really good training, and I did. And I had some fantastic TOs and managers over the years. Amazing people, taught me so much. So at the beginning, it was about that. It was really about how I could become a better salesperson. I could build better rapport, mirroring, and all these things. But and even with NLP, when I went to do the NLP courses, was because I had a big setup as far as I was 26 employees. We were selling properties all around the world. I really went there to learn techniques that could help my sales team, you know, and myself to become a better communicator. But I got so much more than I gambled for. And I was standing in the room thinking, oh my God, I love these skills for me. You know, why aren't we teaching this? So yeah, originally it was more business driven, then it was more personal.
Mm-hmm. For people who maybe don't have a lot of background with NLP, how would you describe that kind of in simplest terms?
Yeah, NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. It's for me, it's the essence of, you know, of mastering and learning a set of skills, techniques, which obviously is neuros about the head, linguistic language and language patterns, how we speak, how we communicate, how to use it. And programming is obviously, you know, those techniques that they teach you, you know, which are all based on modeling, which Richard, you know, developed over many, many, many years ago. You know, how do people overcome fears? How do they overcome phobias? How do they overcome limiting beliefs? And he started studying those processes. And obviously there's a pattern or patterns there. And then, you know, the combination of those things, you know, combined is what makes NLP so great. And it's obviously used, you know, anyone that is in sales nowadays, communication, copywriting, doctors, you know, so many people are using NLP for whatever it is they do, and for personal use, obviously, as well.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the best you. What is the best you? Because I know it's you got a lot of things going on underneath that umbrella. And what led you to start it?
Well, funny enough, I was so in my real estate background, the second time I lost all my money at the age of 26, then I lost it again at the age of 30, mid-30s, 40s. And kind of when I was in the middle of that NLP training, I decided that that's what I wanted to do. Personally, for me, I wanted to become an author. But circumstances of life, I had the opportunity to train with a man and then promote him. And I'm talking about Richard Banner. So I promoted him for 11 years. But running those events, you know, which I didn't really have a lot of background, but I was good in sales and marketing to a degree. I implemented those experiences and those teachings and those learnings into running events. I started really identifying that it was a very fragmented industry, you know, where only great people could really make it. And only they had big stages, i.e. Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Les Brown. And I always thought, well, why, you know, because there's so many great speakers and coaches and trainers out there that obviously don't have that reach, but still they're delivering great messages and they don't have a platform. So it was really my mind as a promoter, as a seminar promoter, to kind of bring more seminar rooms and more space and more people. And it was very anti-niche. A lot of people, you know, when everyone was saying, oh, no, it has to be niche. And I was saying, no, you know, kind of like I'm anti-niche. Why? Because personal professional growth means many different things to different people. You know, some people are exploring spiritualities. Others are trying to overcome a bad relationship. Others, it's more about making money. Mm-hmm. Others, it's more about, you know, kind of empowering themselves, and women in particular, you know. So that's what got me to create The Best You as a brand, you know, and the mm-hmm. name kept popping up. You kept hearing, and you hear all the time, oh, well, the best you can be. Sure. And I started looking, is there a brand out there that's called The Best You? And there wasn't. And I thought, well, I'll have that. And that's what I did. You know, I created The Best You platform. And even from the beginning, I always knew that I wanted it to be multi-platform. I knew we wanted to have a global reach. So, you know, we started with a magazine, and then it was the events, and now we've got the TV. So, you know, we've got all these different aspects of what The Best You does or brings in different platforms.
And when did you start this? And how was that kind of part of the unfolding of your own, I guess, growth as an individual, right? Because we're always growing and learning. So like at what point in your own development did this kind of come into being, and how did it end up? Not only are you shaping it, obviously, but how did it shape you?
Yeah, to be honest, it was a big challenge, you know, putting it together. It still is, you know, even now, you know, we're putting an event in March, and as an entrepreneur and as a promoter, you know, you put yourself on the line, you know, you come up with an idea, and then you put it out there, and then you hope the world, you know, the thousands of people that are going to attend are going to watch it and engage with it. But I've been blessed that, you know, over the years, a lot of people have believed in me and believed in the idea that, you know, there's a lot of love to be shared, and that people want to speak and talk about it and share it. So the platform was really created as a platform that I owned, as far as, you know, Bernardo Moya, but it was, I wanted it to keep independent, because I really hope that The Best You remains long after I go, you know, where, you know, other, you know, other bigger, better organizations can help me kind of reach more people around the world. I want to run expos all around the world, and I want to have 500,000 people watching it, and hundreds of thousands of people attending. But, you know, I think if anything, it's shaped to me in the fact that obviously it's made me who I am. And a lot of times, you know, it's difficult because you're in the middle of it. And I try to stay very humble, and I try to stay very centered and realizing that, you know, I really want to, it's very important to me to be congruent, you know, to not be egoistic. And by congruencies, you know, like in every industry, there's also egos, obviously, in the personal development one. And I didn't want to be one of those that, you know, because if I'm the founder of The Best You, well, generally, I should be a nice person, but also kind of I should have good intentions. I should also be open to learning new things, to change, to evolve, and to explore kind of what's out there that could make me a better human, you know. And so elevating consciousness, what does that mean? You know, learning more about blockchain, NFTs, crypto, you know, and also obviously the aspect of being more loving and more vulnerable, and also the aspect of obviously selling and connecting with people. So in this process during the pandemic and the last 3 years, you know, my business had a big hit again. You know, we lost 95% of our revenue. And we kind of ticked along for 3 years. But I went through a process myself, you know, with separating from my wife, and then I fell in love, then I fell out of love, then I lost my mom, and, you know, kind of the pandemic. So kind of like, you know, I kind of, I don't know, I think I'm a different person than I was 3 years ago, and I've got different intentions behind it. A lot of the times when I did the event, I would always say, David, why am I doing this? You know, because it's just so much work, you know, it's just mm-hmm. why. And I didn't really, I did it because I had to. I did it because I wanted to. I did it because it was kind of the platform that potentially, hopefully could help me reach more people, but hey, potentially also help me, you know, create some revenue for myself. But in this process now, where I'm at now promoting the event and coming back, I'm more centered, you know, I'm more focused on love. I'm more focused on consciousness. I mean, my last book is called A Man Evolving. So I've been open to share kind of my vulnerability and talk about it and express it in writing. A lot of these thoughts are very close to my heart, and you know, kind of a lot of people think, oh, wow, you know, kind of that's a bit different. But I'm doing it because I think that, you know, the world in general, you know, we tend to focus on the wrong things, and by focusing on the wrong things, you know, sometimes we lose the important things. You know, we lose sight on the important things, which is life and life and experiencing life and being, but most importantly, loving. You know, kind of we can't take anything with us, and all we can do is potentially and hopefully leave some kind of legacy and leave the world in a better place. And so, you know, I'm in a place now where I want to bring the expo and really elevate the platform to reach more people who believe in the same kind of things and provide a platform to those that want to share those things and those experiences too.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to your book in just a minute for sure. But you mentioned that you are in the process of preparing for and promoting the Best You Expo Expo, right? Is that kind of the Best You Expo is the way you call it, the way you determine it. March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 2023 in Los Angeles. So we want to make sure that people, you know, get tickets for that. TheBestYouExpo.com is where they can get more information, of course, and we'll have that in the show notes. If you're listening on your phone, you can just swipe up and click on the link. But if people, when people attend The Best You in Los Angeles, what will they experience? Like, take us into that whole experience between exhibitors and speakers, and just give us a visual of what it will be like.
Well, basically, they walk into a space that's very big. It's a conference hall. It's 96,600 square feet, where when we walk in on Thursday to set up, which is Thursday the 2nd, we set up, there's nothing there. It's a blank canvas. And we have to then go and build 9 stages, a big 10 stages in total, you know, all different sizes, love and consciousness, best for business, passion to profit, the inspiration zone, empowering women, masters, mentors, and influencers. So all these different stages and places, plus all the exhibitors hall, it's like a, you know, if you're into personal professional growth, I suppose it's like a kid in a toy shop, you know. Oh my God, where do I go now? Oh my God, this is so big. This is so massive. Where do I start? So, you know, there's just something for everyone. And I've experienced a lot of the times that people go looking for something and all of a sudden they find something completely different. And what tends to happen is that the energy in the room is electric. You know, it's just like you feel love, you feel excitement, you feel this vibration of good positivity going out there to the world. So kind of like, you know, that's what people experience. I share this story. My first one, London, I did it 2016. I went out to the door to see how many people were attending, and there was like I was expecting thousands, but I went to the door hoping there would be hundreds of people waiting to come in, and there was 10, and out of the 10, 6 were in registration. So there was only 4. And I thought, oh my God, what if no one comes, you know? But anyway, we had 3,000 people throughout the 3 days, or 2 days it was, that event. If I fast forward 4 years later, I went out, we were in Olympia in London, and I went to the door because we were running a little bit late to open the doors. And then I went out and I couldn't see the end of the queue. So I had to go to the other side of the pavement to see kind of what was going on. And and basically what I saw was at least 2,500 people waiting there, you know. So it was an amazing moment.
So good. That's awesome. All right. So there'll be not only speakers, but exhibitors. And over the course of 3 days, just action packed with tons of personal development and inspiration is what I hear you saying.
Yes, absolutely. Loads of speakers. You know, there's 150 speakers and there's over 120 exhibitors. And, you know, the speakers, as I said, they share all sorts of expertise in those different kind of stages. And then we've got everything and anything there, from doctors, healing, you know, to healthy energy drinks, to, you know, merchandise, book publishers. We've got books, a bookstore there as well. We've obviously got lots of people teaching you all sorts of skills. It's just an exciting place to be, you know. And a lot of people come for one day, they stay for the three. A lot of people, you know, my opinion, you know, people should really go and attend the 3 days, because a lot of speakers only speak once or speak twice. So, you know, you're going to miss something there. Mm-hmm. And there's something for everyone. So, no, it's a very exciting place to be. And, yeah, it's happening very, very soon, David, very soon.
Now, you work with so many people that are trying to get a message out of some sort, whether they're an exhibitor or a speaker, right? So many people have, whether it's a modality or a message or something. As you talk to those people who are listening now, because there are a lot of people that are listening here that are healers or speakers or authors, what advice would you give them in terms of how to get their message out to the world?
Well, look, we've all been there, you know, we've all been in that stage where we are trying to, you know, either publish a book, write a book, or in that process of thinking of writing a book, or we're in that process of transitioning, you know, to become a coach, maybe to follow our dream, our passion. And then there's those that are a little bit more established, you know. I've identified and seen a lot of people in life and in general, also in this industry, is where a lot of people tend to procrastinate. You know, they tend to wait for the right time. They tend to wait for the right moment when the stars are aligned, when I have exactly the amount of money I need to be able to kind of, you know, step into whatever excites me or whatever motivates me. So I think my advice would be, you know, look, I get it. Our platform is a place where it's not my event, it's our event. So it's the event of all the speakers, exhibitors, sponsors, partners. I can't put this event together because we do free tickets. So we really want to encourage people to kind of, like, you know, invest to be there. And that's what I say to all the people that are attending. I say, look, everyone that's there comes from a place of love, because they've studied, they've learned, they've researched, they've written books, you know, and now they're going to present it to you summarized in two talks of 25 minutes or a 25-minute talk. So there's an opportunity for you to learn and fast forward your career and your life personally, if that's what you wanted to do, instead of, I don't know, reading 100 books and never taking action. So I would encourage anyone that has a message that wants to share it to kind of, you know, get engaged and participate. It's been beautiful for me as well to see so many speakers that have met at the Best Year Expo, and then they work together. There's collaborations there. So it's not only the people that you're going to be seeing there if you're a speaker and exhibitor, where you've got thousands of people interested in personal professional growth, but you've also got the opportunity to work with top leaders from all around the world, you know, people like David Fagan, Massa Jaddy, you know, Sonia Stribling, Bill Walsh, Marissa Peer, you know, Greg Reed, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, people that are developing apps like Dr. Patrick Poulter or Jim Poole from Nucom. You know, there's just phenomenal people there that you could tap into, that you could learn from or you could work with. So it's a great place to start, or it's a great place to kind of enhance your career and to kind of step it up. And for example, Sonia Stribling, I mentioned, she was speaking one of our smaller stages, I think 5 years ago in London. And I remember she was speaking in one of the smaller rooms, but her room was packed and she was really noisy. And I went over, what's going on over here? I was just checking out, you know, what's going on here? And she was energetic. And she was already kind of established. She already published a book. She was a great speaker already, but she hadn't got to where she is today. And, you know, she kind of thrived throughout the whole pandemic. But today, she's one of our main speakers, one of our main sponsors. She's brought 15 speakers of her own that she's now coached and mentored that are there. So it's been beautiful to see the growth of a lot of people that have been part of the expo over the years.
Mm. One of the mistakes that you mentioned was procrastination, waiting until just the right time, have the right money, have the right resources, whatever it might be. What are some other mistakes that you've seen people who are trying to grow their brand? What other mistakes have you seen them make?
Well, I've seen a lot of the times is that people, you know, that's it. They don't take action. They wait for the right time. But also, I think, you know, kind of the miss opportunities. You know, I've said that things happen for a reason. You know, every single thing that's happening to you, to us, or for us, is happening because it's meant to be. So, you know, if you're going through a challenge, it's because God, the universe, whatever, believes that you've got, you know, the shoulders and the capability of dealing with it. But it's what you do with it. And also kind of, if information is coming to you, why is that coming to you at this time? You know, kind of why? Listen, because again, I share this, that Instagram, sorry, God, the universe doesn't use Instagram. They don't use Messenger. They don't use WhatsApp. They communicate to you via different bits of information that's coming to you. This podcast, someone is listening to this podcast today for a reason. What is that reason? Why did you and I connect? What is the reason for that? Mm-hmm. And we both have a mutual friend, Michelle Patterson. So kind of like everything is linked, but people miss that. And people miss connecting those dots. And if I've done anything now, is I've always seen, okay, that person's come to this person. Why is that? Is there something there? Is there an opportunity here?
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. And a lot of people choose to ignore it. Mm. And then they just carry on with their lives. There's a great book from Liz Gilbert that I think is called Big Magic. And yes. It talks about ideas. Have you read it?
Yes.
Brilliant book. I listened to the audiobook. And I love that. I love the concept of that ideas are kind of like, they're like entities that kind of travel in the universe. And they come looking for someone to bring them to life, so they become a reality. And they come with you. Like, we've all had that. All of a sudden, oh, wow, that's a great idea. But then ideas, you know, will leave you if you don't bring them to life. Mm. And they will go and find someone else that will bring them to life. How many times again have we all experienced that? Oh, I thought of that quite a few years ago. And I love that concept. I love that idea. So is this conversation that's happening here today now and what we're talking about here now, is this something that's coming to you, for you? And yet you may be choosing to ignore it. So my age and the reality of my mortality, I've started to realize, obviously, to connect those dots.
Beautiful, beautiful. Bernardo, I like you. Yeah, like you're just, yeah, you just, I love that, you know, we got a chance to meet last week at the Conscious Life Expo. And as you mentioned, we do have a mutual friend, Michelle Patterson. But, you know, you mentioned earlier about having an ego as someone who's running, you know, a sizable entity, putting on a huge, you know, expo and event. It would be so easy to think perhaps even more highly of yourself than just loving yourself. You know, like that's such a, I think some people worry about loving yourself because you might become too egotistical. And then in reality, I think we just, the more we loved ourselves, we would become less egotistical. We would become more loving toward others. But I sense your love. I sense your desire to connect in a real genuine way. So yeah, thank you. It's beautiful.
No. Thank you. Thank you. I try to stay humble. I mean, you know, kind of we've all got scars. We all have a story. We all have a journey. You know, I try to stay as congruent as I can. I try to stay as centered as I can because of the role that I have. And, you know, Sharon Lecter was a mentor of mine, you know, kind of when I was making the decision to run events in London, which I had no experience of. She said to me, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? And that's kind of something that stuck with me. So I'm here for a reason. The reason that I'm here is to provide people a platform and a conduit.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't about me. You know, I'm experienced enough to have lost money and to have had terrible ideas that went wrong and to hit rock bottom many times and have many dark moments. But no, I really try to stay as centered as possible. And if I feel the connection, if I feel the love and I feel the right energy, I'm happy to work with anyone and collaborate with anyone and discuss and provide them, you know, a platform. I'm simply a conduit and I'm put here for a reason. And what I hope happens is, you know, from those 150 speakers and all those exhibitors that are there, that we can really put some really great energy out there because, you know, the world needs it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you said, you said, I've hit rock bottom several times. And it does seem like when I come across someone who has hit rock bottom, that there is something different about that person. That if I should say we have hit rock bottom, that there's a level of compassion, a level of sensitivity, a level of awareness that, you know, we're all going through different challenging things at different seasons. And, you know, you shared very openly in your book, and I haven't read the whole thing yet, but it's called A Man Evolving, Confessions About Monogamy, Passion, and Broken Hearts. And you're very open about your life in your writing. And I have been very open about mine in previous books that I've written as well. And what motivated you to write this book and really just bare your heart in it as well?
Well, in that process of, you know, going through, you know, what I went through already, which I shared, you know, kind of the pandemic and falling out of love and all this, you know, it was a dark moment, but kind of, I've always felt kind of a need to write, you know, as I got older, I've always felt a need to write, but it was also about expressing those feelings that maybe I wasn't happy or able to share, you know, and also to put my hands up and on, you know, kind of accept the mistakes that I've made. It was one of those books that I was really thinking at the end, should I publish it or not? Well, because you know, kind of again, not that I'm anyone, but you know, I am the founder of The Best You, and this is a side that I hadn't shared before, and it's very vulnerable, it's very open. But I felt there's a responsibility, and obviously, although I've hurt people, and I have hurt people in the process of what I've done, and even sharing it to the public, you know, with because hey, I have kids, and I'm sure they haven't read it, but you know, kind of my kids and stuff like that. I think it was something that I needed to do, and I needed to do because many relationships and many people, you know, throughout their lives are living a lie. You know, I was living a lie for a long time. I wasn't happy. I did what I thought was right at the time. And I mean by that staying in my marriage, although I made mistakes in that process towards the end of it. But I thought there was an obligation for me to put it out there, to share it, and then kind of open myself up to hopefully, potentially, you know, kind of encourage other people and other men, particularly because this is a book that really is aimed for men and women equally. But it was more about inviting them to kind of step up and express their feelings, to be honest with themselves. Because, you know, my previous book is called The Question, which is all packed with questions, but even this book has loads of questions at the end of each chapter. So I just hope that you know, men are open and happy to kind of confirm and discuss, because if they can't express it, maybe they can write it. And just, you know, just being kind, saying a loving thing, you know, can go a long way. Putting your hands up can go a long way, whatever the consequences are. So, you know, kind of, I think at least, you know, your soul can stay at peace. But also, David, the fact is that male suicide is one of the biggest killers out there. There's a lot of people struggling with mental health. And I feel that writing and expressing kind of how you feel, you know, is something that is necessary. For me, this process of writing this book and where I'm at now, a lot of the times I just feel that, and this comes from Liz Gilbert's idea as well, that this whole idea of ideas coming to you, but it's also kind of like they were saying that the old Greeks and Romans, they always saw those, you know, those philosophers or whatever, they just saw them that they were simply channeling information that was coming either from somewhere else or a higher spirit or whatever. And I felt that the same. I would go through processes where I would write things and it would just literally come out. So I would have this 20, 25 minutes of just letting my hand go or my keyboard go. And a lot of times I would really feel, wow, you know, where did that come from? So I loved that engagement. And I think we can all tap into that if we simply stop and pause and spend a bit of time thinking about it.
Hmm. And when you think about sharing your story, there is a risk, right? You said that there's a risk, like based on you're the leader of the best you. And I love, I don't know if you're familiar with Anne Lamott, but she's an incredible spiritual writer, and I've been to some of her writing workshops. And, you know, she just reminds us that our story is our story. And we can share our story, you know, right? No matter what, it's ours to share. You're sharing your story. Have you found that people have treated you differently based on you being that vulnerable? Have there been people that have been more connected, more empathetic, or maybe less connected? Like, what's been the reaction as people have read it?
Yeah, in general, it's been great, to be honest. It's been, it's been great because I've shared it with obviously a lot of people that I work with. I've shared it with a lot of friends and some friends or so-called friends haven't read it, or they have read it, they probably judge me or whatever. But I think the whole aspect of non-judgmental, being a non-judgmental individual is really important in life. You know, kind of, again, we all have scars. We all go through our own journey and we all need to judge others. We just don't know what people go through. But I've tried to express that in the book. But no, I felt a lot of love. And you know, kind of, I produced an event, which was called the Love Event 2-3 months ago, which is when I launched this book. And since I've gone down that route, because I've evolved over these years, but it was only when the book came out, and I've got a spiritual coach myself, and she was kind of guiding me through this process of putting it out there and sharing it, but also expressing it, you know. So kind of the moment I started putting more love out there and I kind of opened myself, I felt a lot more people kind of obviously connected with me, but they get to know me in a deeper way, maybe something that they don't know, because, you know, I can still be vulnerable and express loving and caring feelings, and I can be spiritual, but I can still be a man. I can still be macho. I'm still Spanish. And, you know, kind of, I can still like football and I still like motorcycles, you know.
So sure, kind of course.
It doesn't make me different. It's just simply that there's an aspect to me that people wouldn't know. But no, I felt a lot of love. And since I put the book out there, I'm feeling it. And that's kind of the driving force of the expo now. As I said, I'm really in that space and place now where, you know, this is who I am. This is where it's coming from. So hopefully people can feel that. And I think they feel that.
I love that. All right. The Best You Expo is here in Los Angeles, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th in 2023. And if you're listening to this even after that, be sure to check out thebestyouexpo.com for all sorts of other resources. Bernardo, where can people connect with you and follow you personally online?
Thank you, David. Yes. Well, the webpage is there for anyone wanting to connect. We've got free tickets. That webpage will remain the same. We'll be back in 2024. So if you wanted to get involved, you can. I'm personally on Instagram. It's kind of what I use most, Bernardo Moya. I do use Facebook, but not so much. But I'm also on Facebook. And then, you know, The Best You has its own webpage, thebestyou.co, but thebestyouexpo.com is a great place to be able. And my own webpage is bernardo-moya.com. There's loads of stuff, loads of resources, articles, and all sorts of amazing things that I've done over the years, which hopefully can inspire, free downloads, all sorts of stuff. So, but anyway, listen, I'm just deeply humble and grateful for the opportunity to share kind of my story and The Best You.
Of course. And all of those links you mentioned will be in the show notes so people can swipe up on their phones and click on those links now. So Bernardo, congratulations on this expo coming up and for all the investment you have. I don't know how many years, but for many, many years, you have invested your life in making this world a better place and in making people's lives better. And so thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for the investment in our world. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for what you bring as well, David. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the conversation today, and we invite you to share this episode with someone who would enjoy it as well. Take a screenshot, text it to them, and tell them to check out behindthelidspodcast.com. Also, we encourage you to rate and review the show on the podcast platform where you are listening. We'll see you next time, Behind the Lids.